There is a soldier on the human light. Also want to just give a special thanks to
something
for having us over for the weekend. The principal of the school
not working for me.
And she's just doing such a fantastic job with the PTA in building the school up.
Yeah, I'm going to play wrestling at the
end of the space of just over a year. And let me tell you that they've got big plans for the school. So watch this space. And for those in the church that babies and so forth, you might remember
so
your
kids
are really the school going to fill up very quickly. So I know it's an exciting time. So thank you also for opening up the schools to the church. And we just made a provision in case the campus didn't blow away. And we were happy to have all the campus here this morning as well. But it seems like we had the better of us last night. And I think as soon as day broke, the tents were being packed up and people had just about ended up in the southeastern. So it's wonderful. I enjoy it all. I like seeing space due to my faith room to grow. Watch this space, and I just want to say a special welcome to all of you from the school, and parents and families from the school. I just know that this is your school, and you're so welcome at the church as well. Anytime, I invite you just to make it your church as well. There's a short video clip that I want to show us as well, just on the topic of community. So, Ryan, if you just say that, today and tomorrow and in the future. We make up our own plans. And frequently they are quite diverse and different from what God had intended. But God invites us to come to Him. He wants to father us. Like a good father will teach his children the way that they should go. The Bible says that when you train your children the way they should go, when they're older, they will not depart from it. And so it's so blessed. One day in the course of our God is better than a thousand elsewhere. It's so blessed when you can come to know God earlier on in life. Don't wait till your deathbed before you decide to really follow Jesus. Because many of us, we know about Jesus, we know who He is, and we definitely not worshiping Buddha or, you know, Hare Krishna or any of these. We would say, well, I'm a Christian. What does it mean to be a Christian? What does it mean to have God as your Father? Well, it means to follow Him, to be together with Him and with His family. That's part and parcel of it. But Jesus says that if you've seen Him, you've seen the Father. Jesus made the way for us to be with the Father. He says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. John 14, verse 6. God sent His Son to be the mediator for us, to reconcile us to Him. There had to be a sufficient worthy sacrifice for us to come into a relationship with God. Even as I prayed earlier, Jesus was that way that was made for us. And so God invites us to come to Him. He wants us to follow Him. Jesus said, if anyone wants to come with me, let him deny himself. So you walk away from your own plans and ideas, what you think is best and why, what you think you are made to be on earth for, and you take up your cross and follow Jesus. That means that we've got to count the cost when we come to the Lord Jesus Christ and when we decide to follow Him. It's not a light decision, it's not a decision that you take today and tomorrow you're like, you know, whatever. The most important decision that you can make in this life. We've only got this one life. It's given that everyone is born into this world, that everyone's got a time when the time's up. And it's between your birthday and your last day that you have an opportunity to give your life to the Lord. And the Lord is a righteous judge, who's fair, and will give everyone an option, an opportunity to come to Him and give you a revelation. And I believe He calls us already from a young age where if we pay attention, we will hear His voice. I came to Him when I was 25, even though I grew up in the church. I knew about Him, but I didn't realize that I actually had to follow Him and that I could have a relationship with Him, where God is my Father, and where He wants to talk to me, and I can talk to Him. It was a very distant thing, and I still did my own thing. So I wasn't really His child, even though I thought I was a Christian and I would have ticked that off being a Christian again. But I wasn't His child and I was very much in the world being banished to myself and people around me, alienating myself from my family. And I was in the UK when it happened. The Lord revealed Himself to me one afternoon after I prayed, probably for the first time in many years, I prayed for someone else. She had ex-girlfriend and tried to commit suicide. I just wanted to say, you know, God, if He'd help her, she needs help. And God was like, we'll help her, but I'm going to help you also. At that point, I was an alcoholic and using recreational drugs. My life was on a downhill spiral, getting into fights. I mean, the fights that we saw on the soccer field yesterday, I was getting into fights with people with weapons and these kind of things. But I wasn't a good character to hang around with. I was here in the north of London. That's if any of you follow football, real football, Tottenham Hotspur. I mean, that's the rubber place. That's where I was down one hot night. And the Lord revealed Himself to me, and right then for the first time, I really knew God is real. His presence came over me like powerful waves of just love. I saw my life flashing before my eyes and all my sin that had separated me from Him. There wasn't much I could do about that sin and all that sin. The Lord said, no, I'm here to forgive you. I'm here to make you new. The Bible tells us that all those who are in Christ are new creations. All things have passed away and gone. He has made everything new. And I really felt and experienced that firsthand, what happened in you. And I decided there and then, I'm done with doing my own thing in life. I'm going to follow God. And each of us comes to the Lord in a different way. You heard it in the format's wonderful testimony last week. Doesn't matter how you come to it. What is important is that once we come to it, we become His child, and that's where life gets, becomes sweet the way it's meant to be. When you can actually have a smile on your face and no worries, no guilt, no shame, no fear. That is what life entails for the person who follows Jesus Christ. So I'm not afraid of life. That's something that I realized immediately. Something that lifted off me, like this heavy, wet blanket that lifted off me when I came to the Lord, when I experienced His presence. And God just took that away. I realized that all of us, deep down, I didn't realize I had that subconsciously, we have a fear of the unknown and what is beyond. I realized that it lifted off me. Now, I'm not afraid of dying. I didn't like to be hit by a train or anything like that, but when I'm there, I'm with God. Can't die. Like each one of us that's a believer. That's the good news that we have. That's the good news that we have to tell the world. The worst thing that can happen to you can't happen to you if you follow Jesus. Then death becomes a beautiful doorway into eternity, to a place where there is no more pain and suffering, no more death. So I'm looking forward to that day. In the meantime, God has given me a job to do. I love doing that. I love sharing with people, walking around with people. And that's all of our task and responsibility to do together as a community. There's no one-man show. And I suppose in the old days of the churches that were run like a one-man show, where there's one person that does everything, or he's the only person that can talk, and everyone else can just sit and listen. Very quietly and slowly, but that's not what God intended for us. He doesn't differentiate. There's different functions and tasks and responsibilities within the church, but we're all equal in the sight of God. I'm telling you that I know how many of you here this morning, and the people that know me well will be able to testify that I make mistakes, and as we all do, but God has said that we are just children. He's our Father. Don't call anyone Father, the Bible says, because there's only one Father. The scribes and the Pharisees, the hypocrites, Jesus was referring to many times. He said, you like it when people call you Rabbi, Rabbi. So you must call me Pastor. I'm T.S. Okay, I'm just fulfilling a certain function in the church. And many of you get called to perform the same function. I can help point you in the right direction there, but you know, we're all just God's children, we're one happy family. Amen? And so, when we come together, awesome things happen. Unity commands a blessing from God. Joshua 6 verse 20, we've got an awesome example there in the Old Testament of how the Israelites marched around the city of Jericho. I mean, they were brave enough crossing the Jordan. Yeah, first getting out of Egypt, that was a hang of a thing after 400 years of slavery. And imagine you've got that slave mentality and you almost, you know, it's been generations. You kind of almost get in your comfort zone, you know. Yes, there's hardships there, but you've got your place to sleep, you've got your food. And it was the Lord delivered them in a mighty way that they couldn't say no. And they were excited about that. But they went through the Red Sea into the desert. And the Lord was with them the whole time. God spoke by day, a pillar of fire by night, and He provided for them supernatural bread from heaven, and quail, the water from the rock and Horeb, and they had everything they needed. But soon they started longing for the pots of Egypt. And God said, no, just this is the time of equipping and training. I'm taking you to the promised land. Anyway, we know the story. They went around the desert for 40 years, a journey that should have taken them 11 days. Where they exited the desert and through the Jordan to took them 40 years. The first generation Muslim didn't make it through. Now they crossed the Jordan. First they sent the spies out, Joshua and Caleb, and his buddies. They sent them out. Most of the spies have turned back and said, we don't want the promised land. They are giants. These guys are like 10 feet tall. Goliath was one of these kind of giants that David would meet later on. But the land was full of people of that size. And the Israelites, they're more like our size, maybe a bit smaller than most of us South Africans. And they were afraid. They said, there's no way we can take that land. We can't go. And Caleb, he was of a different spirit. He met Joshua and said, no, we can take it. Remember, we put God on our side. And Moses appointed Joshua as the next leader, and so Joshua took them through the Jordan. He said to them before they went through the Jordan, consecrate yourself today, for tomorrow the Lord will come from this land, and certainly the Lord. Then they went through the Jordan, and then they came upon Jericho, this massive walled city, walled so thick. I was privileged enough to be at the ruins of Jericho. I can confirm the walls did come down. And they marched around that city according to the Lord's instruction. Which sounds crazy. Maybe the Lord will ask you to do some crazy things that in the natural doesn't seem to make sense. Well, as long as it's not something sinful, because God's voice is the only voice we hear. Sometimes we get confused as God is God. Well, if it's anything sinful against the word of God, then you can have well, that was via a stuff group, the plan, the devil talking to me again. So it's like, thank you, but I reject that thought in Jesus' name. And I'm going to get stuck in the word again and get some more direction again. And they marched around the city for 7 days in silence. All the Israelites marched around 7 days early in the morning. On the seventh day, they watch around 7 times. And at the Lord's instruction, at the end of the seventh time, they blew the trumpets and they gave a mighty shout, and the walls came crashing down. An amazing miracle that the Lord exacted as they were in perfect unity. You might have some challenges before you. I can guarantee you it's probably not as tough as bringing down the walls of Jericho and going in and taking the city. I mean, you almost want to throw a party when the walls come down, but they couldn't stand still there, and then they still had to go in and attack the city. So, you can know that the Almighty is with you. Whatever your challenge, God has proven to us time and again, He can overcome any challenge. What we think is impossible, what is impossible to us is possible with God. We just need to listen carefully to His instruction. Maybe the challenge that you're facing now, relationship crisis, whatever, maybe the Lord is giving you some wisdom and some insight there that you think, wow, that will never work. If you really feel the Lord is talking to you about it, just be very bold. Take heart and courage and just follow through with what the Lord says. You know, maybe the Lord says to them, you must take that person out for a coffee, and you're like, no way is that, but you're going to find that person, and it's going to go off that door. Just do it. The Lord's timing is perfect. Just follow through with it. God is so good. And in the New Testament, you also have this wonderful example in Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, so the believers, just before Jesus ascended, after He rose from the dead, He revealed Himself to over 500 witnesses after that. And He went to go and fetch the disciples again and went back to the fishing boats. He went to fetch them again. And He was there on the shore, drying some fish for them while they were still trying to catch fish out there. And He showed them, no, I'm the source. It's not time to go back to your old ways. You've got a job to do. And He commissioned them to go into all the world and make disciples of all the people. And He said, you're going to need power to work this. You go and wait. I'm going to my Father now. And He ascended and He said to them, you go and wait to Jerusalem. You wait for the promise, the gift of the Father. Holy Spirit and how you sing. And with the Holy Spirit, you will receive power to be my witnesses. And so the disciples gathered and they had some friends with them. There was 120 disciples in the upper room. Now they already believed in Jesus. They received him as Lord and Savior. So they say they are on their way to heaven. But God said, that's not enough. If you want to live an effective life as a follower, you need the Holy Spirit. You need the fullness of the Holy Spirit so that you can be my witness. That's what we're doing here. We are witnessing for the Lord. When the day of Pentecost came, verse 1, actually, 2, they were all together in one place. Say that with me, all together.
All together.
In one place.
In one place.
How do I know this more? Other translations say they were in one. Okay, again, cast your mind back to that symphony that we watched on the screen just now. Okay, this perfect harmony, perfect chord. They were of one mind. It wasn't someone that had another idea or, you know, there weren't 50 people trying to say what they wanted to say. They were all there for the same reason and they were waiting on the Lord. They all knew why they were there. They were singing to God, suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. The next slide. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and they were speaking other tongues of the Spirit. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit. All 120 received that gift. See, God is not a respecter of person. He doesn't differentiate between us. He doesn't compare. He gives gifts to men. He doesn't take them back. He gives the calling of God every God for them. Our God showers us with goodness. He adds joy without adding sorrow. The sorrow that we have in our lives is either our own doing very often, or it's the enemy working in our lives. But God is more powerful than anything, and he can reverse and restore anything that the enemy has brought in our lives. So know that God loves you, that's why he came to be his child. Like, and we think we know what it's like to be our parents here today. You know how much you love your child. You love your child unconditionally. There's nothing your child can do to make you love him. Now God is a perfect father. See, we still have issues and hangouts, and we still get cross with our children and these kind of things, and our tempers are sometimes short and our patience is little. But God is perfect and his patience doesn't run out. He's been persevering with mankind's disobedience for over 6,000 years now. He loves us. He saves us while we are still sinners. That's when he saves us. He doesn't wait for a perfect person to come along and say, okay, you deserve my presence. No, none of us deserve it. So God loves us unconditionally. We can think we love our children unconditionally, but the truth is, because we aren't perfect, there are some conditions. There will be some lines that will be crossed at some point, potentially, that we'll say, I'll go like this. With God, we never reach the point where he will turn his back on you. Impossible. He gave his life for us so that he could prove that to us. And then he's right. And so he gives the Holy Spirit to everyone who asks the Holy Spirit. So maybe you get to that, you serve Jesus, you love Jesus, but you haven't ever really asked for the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's something we can pray for later. You just pray, 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 and say, Jesus, please fill me with your Spirit. It's as simple as that. You don't have to be some special or anything like that. None of us are more special than the next. We're all precious before God because we've been paid for by the precious blood of Christ. Not even gold or silver was it. That's how valuable we are to the Lord. That's the price of giving, is the blood of Jesus Christ. There can be no greater price. Then finally, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, you see there, when two or three gather my name, there I am with them. There I am in the midst, and that is the greatest blessing of a believing community. It's the fact that we've got a double guarantee that God is with us. So we know that the Lord says he will never leave us or forsake us. But he just emphasizes and confirms it again here. He says, when we come together, when my children gather together, you bet I'm going to be there. God, our Father, doesn't miss the family gathering. He's the head of this home, and he doesn't miss the family gathering. He's here, he's here today. He knows our lives. He doesn't force himself on anyone. And I just want to pray for us now this morning as we close. I just want to appeal to you and invite you to open up your heart. If you haven't made a decision to follow Jesus or to make Jesus your Lord, to receive what he did at the cross for you, to receive him as your Savior, if you haven't made that decision yet, I want to encourage you and appeal to you to make that decision right here, right now. You don't have to procrastinate or hesitate. You don't have to become good to get God. You get God and then he helps you to get good. I couldn't get good by myself, I couldn't quit drinking by myself, and I knew it was killing me. If it wasn't for God intervening in my life, I'd have been dead in a ditch somewhere a long time ago. I'm so grateful. God has blessed me where I couldn't hold one relationship for longer than 3 months. Now I've been married for 8 years to a beautiful wife, I've got 3 amazing kids. God is so good. Blessed me beyond measure of all these dreams I could never imagine. It's not always easy to follow Jesus. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes it means, you know, it often means, you know, putting some plans on hold. Saying, okay, God, I'll wait. I'll be patient. I know it's not the time now. Sometimes it's tough. Sometimes you know that, okay, this is an opportunity, or, you know, it's being asked of me now. Say something about what I believe. I pretty much know that most of the people around me here, when they don't say something to ridicule me, they will definitely be thinking it. It's just a place where you decide that, oh, from this moment, I'm going to live for God more than what I'm going to live for people's opinions around me. Live to please Him, not necessarily the people around me. You know, God calls your heart with love, even for those that would want to destroy you or your enemies. God calls your heart with love for them as well. Jesus said we must love our enemies. So God would have us go to the people that would want to ridicule us and so on, and just love them. We can't force anyone that God doesn't want us to try to believe what we believe. He just wants us to love people and to share with them when it's the right time. To care for people. There's many people hurting in the world, and we know that because we even hurt from time to time. But we've got God to help us through those dark and difficult times. There's a lot of people that don't have God. So sometimes, unfortunately, we know people like that. The only resort for them is what they feel the only way out is to actually end their lives. I mean, you can just look at the euthanasia laws coming into Europe now, just stepping it up. And just giving the option to people of any age to end their lives at any time they want. Because they understand sometimes life's too hard. They don't understand how precious this life is. They don't know the one who has given their life and purpose to live. So we need to take this message out because the enemy is giving it right to take people out and pack people down before their time, before they even come to know the Lord. We can just trust God's grace. So if you buy your next week, I just have to pray for us this morning. Father, we just want to with others, that we can share life. Thank you, Lord, for family. Thank you, Lord, that our families, marriage, children, gives us a clearer picture, Lord God, of your heart for us and your Father heart. Thank you, Lord, that even in being a parent, we can understand something of your love, even if what we understand is not perfect, Lord God. We want to thank you, Lord, that you've given us that, that picture, and you describe yourself as a Father. And you describe us in your words, your children. You just want to heal us. So often, Lord, we want to be someone else. Lord, we want to say to God, Lord, that help us, Lord, to come back to you, to meet with you. Realize that you are that. Even if sometimes we feel that we know as much as our earthly fathers, we can know that we'll never know as much as our heavenly Father. You know everything. And we need you as well. We need your wisdom, Lord. We need your help. We need your guidance. Most of all, we need your life. We need your salvation. We need to be saved from our sin. Need to be washed clean. You know that even when we make that decision for you, Lord, we will still falter and we will still sin. Thank you that you help us to overcome that sin. Lord, behind you help us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, from that moment that we say yes to you, our names are written in your book of life, that we do not have to fear death anymore. Because Jesus, you conquered sin and death at the cross. Death has lost its sting because our sin has been washed away. I just want to pray for those here this morning, Lord, that realize that they're not in right standing with you right now. You encouraging them and calling them back to you. I just want to give them that opportunity. And no one's looking around, just keep your eyes closed and head down. If you want to make right with God this morning and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord, if you want to become a child of our Heavenly Father, no one's looking around, just raise your hand. I just want to pray for you. Is anyone like that to this morning? Thank you for that hand. Anyone else like that this morning? Won't you all maybe just pray with me? Can we all just pray this together? For those that indicate that when you pray this prayer sincerely from your heart, then you can know you've stepped from darkness into God's light, from death to life. Maybe you make a recommitment. And that's good. Because God invites the prodigal son to come home. If you've wandered off, he invites you back. You can come back to him as many times as you wander away. But it's so much better to stay in his house with him. So let's pray together, dear Heavenly Father.
Yeah, Heavenly Father.
Thank you for your son.
Thank you for your son.
Thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross for me.
Thank you for Jesus for dying on the cross for me.
For taking my sin upon you.
For taking my sin upon you.
Paying my penalty in full.
Paying my penalty in full.
Of all my sins.
For all our sins.
Past, present, and future.
Past, present, and future.
I give my life to you now, Jesus.
I give my life to you now, Jesus.
I purpose to follow you.
I purpose to follow you.
Please help me.
Please help me, God.
Give you my past.
Give you my past.
Give you my future.
I give you my future.
I want to live to bring glory to your name.
I want to live to bring glory to your name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you that I am now a child of God.
Thank you now that I am a child of God.
And if the devil tries to
And if the devil tries to tell me otherwise,
I will not believe him. You have said there is no condemnation.
For you have said there is no condemnation.
For those who are in Christ Jesus. So there's no more guilt for me.
So there's no more guilt for me.
There's no more shame.
There's no more shame.
Thank you that you turned my mess.
Thank you that you turned my mess.
Into a message.
Into a message.
Thank you for life.
Thank you for life.
In Jesus' name I pray.
In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Then I want to pray two more prayers before we demolish some kind of material. Okay, I mentioned earlier the gift and the blessing of the Holy Spirit, Lord, we have to ask this tutor, really to empower us in our lives as we follow him. And I just want to ask, just raise your hand if I can just pray a prayer for us to receive the Holy Spirit. Is anyone here that wants to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is all over the Bible, and we see it in the New Testament. Every second paragraph, the Holy Spirit is moving supernaturally, healing people, setting people free from all sorts of bondage. Okay, I invite you to come and chat with me afterwards. I'd love to pray with you if you would like to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. As believers, we really need that to have an effective, powerful life of the Lord. As the Lord intended our lives to be powerful, he wanted us to just be survivors. We don't just survive like that theme song is not for believers. We are overcomers. The Lord says we are more than conquerors. Okay, so life doesn't get better of us. We are empowered to live effective lives, powerful lives that change people's lives around us. There's sick people around us, you pray for them. I pray for many sick people, but all of them are healed because God is a miracle worker and this side is ready. But he told us we must pray for them. So I'm just obeying, I pray for all the sick people, and then he heals most of them, praise the Lord. And some awesome healings. Many of us have prayed for sick people and they have been healed. And God is really, really good like that. He wants to bless us. And I'll encourage you that. And then, just finally, so that's just an invitation. Anyone who wants to come and pray afterwards. And then, finally, I just like to pray for the school and the parents and the families that are here and visiting here, especially. And for Mrs. DeVitt, just like us, just all, if you can maybe all just stand just with this final prayer and maybe just the church members. This is a sign of blessing. Just stretch out your hands towards the school parents. It seems like we've got church on the left and school on the right, and we're all integrated. Okay. Let's just pray a blessing. Just where you are, just pray a blessing over the school families. These families that we have this morning are, we just say that you guys represent the whole school today. And we just pray a blessing on all the school families and on this whole school. So, Father, we want to thank you. This school, Lord, thank you, Lord God, that your heart is for people, your heart is for all the families of this school, Lord. To see these families strengthened, to see these families stay together, to see these families restored and healed, Father, to see these families fulfilling their purpose in this life. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the families in this school that are struggling, Lord God, that are struggling relationally, Lord God, that are struggling with emotional turmoil, Lord, I pray just your healing over those families, Lord God, that you will bring strength to them, Lord. I pray for the families that are struggling financially in the school. I pray that you will open up just the doors of heaven and bless them, Lord, financially, with provision, Father, for everything they need, plus more to bless others that are struggling, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you bless this school, Lord God, its needs, Lord, in order to educate and raise these children up a mighty generation, Lord, which will change the face of this nation, Father. We just declare that, Lord God, that this school is going to be a source, a breeding ground, Lord, for nation builders and for children. sanctified. Also, the governing body of Peter Abel, we pray for them, God, and we speak your blessing over their heart. Lord, we pray that you have guarded the supernatural wisdom, Lord. There's so many challenges, Lord, that come their way every day, Lord. So many important decisions to make, Lord, which will impact lots of children and their families, Lord. And so we ask, Lord, for wisdom. We ask, Lord, God, that you'll grant them peace, Lord, that surpasses understanding, that surpasses difficult situations and circumstances that conflict. Lord, your peace we speak over the teachers and over the school in Jesus' name. Lord, we pass through those sometimes difficult to manage the children, Lord, in the classroom. It's always a challenge to come. And we thank you, Lord, that your peace will reign in the school, that we speak order over the school, Lord, in Jesus' name. We pray that the scholars will supernaturally focus and learn from their teachers, Lord God, in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord God, this school, you are setting apart. This is not like the other schools around the corner. Lord, this is not like some ordinary government school, Lord. Your hand is over the school. We speak your blessing, Lord, that your blessing will flow forth from the school, Lord, that is purposed to serve you. Lord, that it will flow forth to every family in the school and beyond into this community, Lord God. Thank you that from this place, Lord, from this place, you are blessing, your purpose to bless the whole of family. And we want to thank you for that, Lord. Change the city of us, Lord. Change the city, Father. Bring people together, Lord, under your guidance in Jesus' name. We ask that, Lord, that you'll bless us together as our community, Lord God. That you'll bless us with your power, Father, to change this nation in Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen. God bless you, each and every one. Wonderful to spend some time with you this morning. We seriously have some delicious pan and lots of it in our tea room, which is just across the senior court. There's red velvet pan, chocolate pan, triple chocolate pan, carrot pan. Okay, you can't leave unless the pan is finished. Okay, please just have a wonderful one.